All right, good morning, everybody. We will warm up our in unison voices. Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you this morning. Wonderful to hear the buzz of you. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. God be with you. My name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. And with me in leadership this morning is our Music Director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our Organ Scholar, Cadence Broussard, who you've been hearing already this morning. Reverend Ruth Noble is at the back, ready for Sunday school. Emma is at the back, ready for nursery. We're all here for you. We are, in this congregation, a committed group and a happy group this morning. Don't you love hearing the voices of people coming into church? That is such an awesome sound. We're dedicated to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. And it's really, really good to be together. You will notice that the sanctuary setup looks slightly different this morning, and that's because we had an incredible tribute to Gordon Lightfoot concert here last night, a sold-out capacity crowd at 300, an incredible roster of performers, and we just have not had time to take down the stage yet, so we're adapting this morning, but it was truly wonderful. Thank you to all of you who showed up and enjoyed everything last night and supported the work of the Hub and Hughes Room. And thank you especially to our organizers for the whole event, especially the Chair of Strategic Implementation and our Hub at Rosedale, Susan Vance. We are very, very grateful. So this is the time that we've set apart to reconnect with God's Spirit, with our own spirits, to center ourselves at the start of another week. We hope that this will be a nourishing time for all of you, that you'll be strengthened by being a part of community here, and that this will be a chance for all of us to reorient and realign ourselves, to learn, to grow, to serve. Rosedale United Church is proud to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. Everyone is welcome here. If this is your first time here, special welcome to you. We gather for tea and coffee after the service, right through that door there. We hope you'll stay, chat, make yourselves known. Kids, you're gathering at the back, a good cohort today. That's awesome. As always, if you're here with your kids or grandkids, know that this is a place where you can stand up, move around if you need to. We always have the quiet area at the back, and we always have the nursery school for the under age fives, and also a Sunday school in place. They'll be heading down a little later in the service, but you're welcome to gather with them now. The best way to find out about what's going on here at the church and also within our hub is to subscribe to our e-newsletter. We call it the KIT, but it stands for Keeping in Touch. So I think in your bulletin it shows you how you can subscribe to that, and I do recommend that. All right, some news from the Rosedale Hub that I wanna share. On Halloween, we want you to make the church, if you have trick-or-treaters in your life or who are your neighbors, let them know that Rosedale United can be a stop for candy, and that when they pick up their candy, it will be accompanied by spooky music on the organ, spooky atmosphere in the sanctuary if they want to pop their head in. Also, this coming Friday, if you really just want to maximize this Halloween season, Cadence is playing in a concert. I think is it at Metropolitan, Cadence? Yeah. And it's called Phantoms of the Organ. And it is going to be an evening full of spooktacular performances. Yes, on Canada's largest pipe organ. It's free, so you can go and support Cadence at that. Also coming up, just the day after Halloween, on November 1st, we have our first community dinner of the season and quiz night. Proceeds for community dinner, it's all pay what you can. You just show up, donate what you can. All of our proceeds go to supporting the food bank. This is one of our means of supporting human flourishing, so that's something to tell your friends and neighbors about. Should be a fun night. Volunteer, just self-select after the service today. We're hoping that some of you can stick around for a few minutes and just help us take this stage apart. It worked really well, those of you who were here last week. We quickly put it up together, and we think we can do the same. So if you've got some muscle power and you're willing to stay for a few minutes after the service, it's not too hard. It just involves a few hands. All right. I think that's it for announcements. And so, as we settle into our time of worship, I want to acknowledge that we do so on sacred land, the site of human activity for 15,000 years, the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River, the territory of the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, which is an agreement between First Nations and allied people to peaceably share and care for the resources around the Great Lakes. We are grateful for the opportunity to gather on this territory. And so in this moment, we call ourselves to worship. I invite us all to stand. And I'm going to begin by lighting our Christ candle. We gather here to worship as followers of Jesus. We wonder and learn together in the name of Jesus. We seek to be open to the way of Jesus. Leading, teaching, opening. Let us worship. We sing together. God is here. Thank you. Friends, we turn to one another and greet one another in the peace of Christ, saying, "Peace be with you and also with you." Especially turn to people you haven't met yet and maybe don't know.
Thank you.
So we've been welcomed by our choir now. We have been welcomed by each other, by community. We've been welcomed by this space, by the light, by the candles. And we've been welcomed by spirit. This is a place where we are welcome to be human, to try being human, to sit with being human. And I know that all of us are carrying very human things with us as we come into the sanctuary this morning. And so I invite us just into a moment of silence, just to be with all that we are and all that we're holding this morning. And then after a moment of silence, you'll hear the refrain begin that invites us to open our spirits into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Restless God, we are ready for Sabbath time. In this pause between to do and what if, fill us with your peace. Disturb our complacency with your passion. Renew this morning our commitment to your service. Hear the deepest prayers of our hearts as we gather this morning, and use this time and this community to make us new. You, Lord, know what we are carrying this morning, all that needs your healing, all in your life and our life that needs forgiveness. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Help us to see that nothing is separate from you. Renew your spirit within us and gather us in. Turn us to you. Bring us to trust that this is still your world. We pray all of this in the name of your Jesus, who taught us to say, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God loves us, forgives us, and sets us free. Here is peace. Our theme this morning invites us to consider what we're asked to give as people of faith. What is it that we owe? Are there expectations of us when we leave this place and go out into the world? What are we asked to give as people of faith? I invite each of us here to ponder in the silence of our own hearts this question as Sarah plays.
Good morning. A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. They left him and went away. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
We stand and sing together from More Voices deep in our hearts. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
We call to mind our concerns and commitments and join our prayers for peace and well-being to the prayers of the whole church as they are offered this day for the whole world. Let us pray. Holy One, loving God, we remember today the people we know, the people whom we are holding in our hearts, who are in trouble, who need your peace, who need your healing. We pray for healing and for a way forward. We pray this morning for peace on earth, for de-escalation and an end to violence in Israel and in Gaza, for the release of hostages, for the reunification of families, for children and parents. We pray for generosity and wisdom. We pray for your Spirit to turn hearts and minds. Holy One and loving God, we continue to pray for families in Ukraine and Russia, for an immediate end to aggression and the need for defense, for soldiers to be returned home and return to their integrity. We pray for your encouragement in us, for your nurture of the gifts and aptitudes in each of us, which serve justice in our communities. We pray this morning for the church, by all its names and in all places, to be a channel of grace and hope, to be rescued from stagnation. We pray for the church to witness with action to unity and justice and to its commitment to hospitality and compassion. And we pray that you hear our own prayers, loving God and Lord of life, and that you will be with us in the days of this coming week. Amen. In this moment, I want to invite forward Patsy Anderson. Every week for the next few weeks in our response and offering time, we have people sharing little stories, little vignettes about this church, about their relationship to it, as we prepare for our annual time of stewardship and giving. Patsy's going to share a little bit about what drew her family to this church. And as she's coming up, I just want to, you know, put that question in your head. What drew you here? If you can think of it right away, I am going to come around with the mic after Patsy thinks. I think it's really cool for us to hear from each other, especially as we're in this time of remembering why we want to support our church, to hear from each other around what makes this congregation a special place. So what is it that brought you to Rosedale United Church? First, we'll hear from Patsy, then we'll hear from you.
Thank you, Kristen, and good morning. I come off a little shallow on my initial story about how I came to Rosedale United Church. It was over 30 years ago. I had three children, four and under. And by Sunday morning, thing was a little overwhelmed, and I said to myself, I phoned my neighbor, Gail McNaughton. I said, where am I going this morning? She said, you're going to Rosedale United Church. There's a nursery, There's a lovely, peaceful sanctuary, very meaningful sermons, lovely ancient literature, gorgeous music. So this became my place to recharge my batteries, and I always found Sunday morning so good for the soul. And my children kept me coming because as I reflect on parenting, there's really only two things that I think we really wanted to teach our children. One was what is right and what is wrong. And certainly knowing the golden rule and the great parables was a real value add to them. And the second thing we wanted them to know was that life in Moor Park and Rosedale was a real privilege. And they had a responsibility to know what else was out there in the world. And we wanted them to wake up every week and say to themselves, how can I help other people? So initiatives like the Halloween party for the Red Door became a huge highlight for my children. And I think it really enriched their lives, as has Rosedale United. So I would encourage all of you to reflect on how you came to the church and how meaningful it is in your lives.
Thank you, Patsy. So how did you come to Rosedale United? I'm hoping that maybe just one or two of you might answer this question and put up your hand. I'm going to bring the microphone around. How did you come to Rosedale United Church? Nobody? Yay, Kat, thank you.
Thank you. Similar to Patsy, we came the doors had opened again and our kids, we really wanted them to be exposed to the community at large, but specifically, and I'm not going to name any names, some of the elderly in the community, our kids aren't as exposed as I was as a child, so it was really important for us to have our kids be able to look people in the eyes that are older than them, that have more experience, and that can rely on people for a little bit of wisdom.
So coming to Rosedale United Church to be exposed to a community of grandparents, how awesome is that?
Good morning, my name's Christopher. You see me in the choir. Mine was kind of a little bit of a divine intervention. I lived in this neighborhood just up on Glen Margaret for about 5 years with my previous partner, but I lived in Nova Scotia for the past 3 years and was making this big journey back to Ontario. And Sarah and I had never known each other, and just through our wonderful music community, that was what was at the fore for me, was trying to figure out a way to reintegrate into Toronto with musical community. So Sarah, through a recommendation of a previous person I had worked with, reached out to me, and we connected. I sent her an audition video from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and we had a lovely chat, and it brought me here. I mean, I've driven past this church 3,000 times, but until 4 Sundays ago, I had never stepped foot in the door. So it's such a blessed opportunity to be part of this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher, and we've loved having your voice and getting to know you and meet you. It's been awesome. One last one. How'd you come to Rosedale United Church? Okay.
Community.
Yes. Bingo. Absolutely. I echo that, Helen. Thank you. And there was one more hand here.
I came here because my daughter was getting married, and her husband-to-be's family had come here for a few generations. And so that was my first time 43 years ago. And so when we were back in Toronto off and on, this came to be home.
Thanks, Barbara. There are so many ways that this community becomes home, and also so many ways that each of you makes this community home for others. I invite us to respond. The words are in your bulletin, and I hope you'll join me. we offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. And this is our moment to respond in offering. Your offering this morning may be lighting a candle for a person or place that you're holding on your heart this morning. Your offering may be a financial donation to the life and work of this church and the boxes at the back. Your offering in this moment may be just to sit and contemplate and be peaceful in silence and to center yourself. Everything is welcome. And here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. It was so awesome seeing Sydney up there dancing. That was fun. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Some of the stories we read from our scriptures need a lot of explanation and interpretation to make them accessible. But today's story is relatively straightforward. The question we're invited to consider is stated clearly. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? At issue is what we are expected to give and the boundaries we are allowed to set in our lives as people of faith. As far as biblical stories go, this is a story without a lot of nuance. The antagonists are obvious. The Pharisees had plotted to entrap Jesus, and they send their disciples to do their dirty work along with some members of a group called the Herodians. From the very first line in the story, we know this bunch are up to no good. The goal is to get Jesus arrested, to create the circumstances in which he might say the wrong thing and in front of many witnesses. A little earlier in the book, Matthew describes the context. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Pharisees and the Herodians are trying to get Jesus arrested because turmoil in their city is the last thing that they want. Turmoil attracts attention from the occupying forces of Rome, and the Pharisees and the Herodians prefer to be inconspicuous. They don't want to be disturbed. It was necessary, both groups argued, to coexist with Rome, to accept Rome's authority and governance in the region. This was the means of maintaining peace. But if a whole city is all of a sudden in turmoil over a so-called prophet, well, what choice would Rome have but to react? The Pharisees and the Herodians are trying to get Jesus arrested because turmoil in their city is the last thing that they want. So they approach Jesus with a question when he's teaching at the temple. It's as though they've dug a hole and covered it, and they're leading him down the path so that he'll fall right into it. If they can just trip him up in public, they'll have their case and a reason to bring Jesus before Pilate, the Roman governor. They start by buttering him up. "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Now they've got him. If Jesus supports the tax to the emperor, he risks alienating the whole crowd, the whole city. But if he opposes the tax, then he's publicly sided against Rome. But Jesus steps right around the trap. "Show me the coin used for the tax," he says. And they bring him a denarius. "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" Jesus asks. And the Pharisees and the Herodians answer, "The emperor's." "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's," Jesus says. That's what a person of faith is expected to give. There you have it. Simple, clear-cut. But the more that you think about Jesus' answer, the more complicated it becomes. because you have to be able to define and to answer what exactly are the things that belong to God, and what exactly are we expected to give. Thinking about this scripture got me thinking about one time in my life, one season, a summer, whole summer season actually, where I was really around people who were giving in an extraordinary way. To quote the choir, the whole summer I felt like I was leaning on the everlasting arms by being among these people. The summer before I entered theological college, I got a job leading what was called Vacation Bible School in what was at the time the region of Red Deer Presbytery in Alberta. I was hired by 8 different United Church congregations between Edmonton and Calgary, all located in small farming towns off Highway 2. And my job that summer was to bring a week-long faith-based day camp for kids to local United Churches in towns like Stettler and Pinoca and Crossfield. I coordinated the curriculum, but the whole program, remarkably, was largely carried out by volunteers. And they would help me by leading activities with some of the different age groups and actually promoting the camp and signing the kids up, and they'd bring snacks and they'd help to set up and clean up. And every week I was billeted to a new family, and these strangers would take me in with no expectation of compensation. They fed me delicious, warm, comforting meals and gave me a cozy room to stay in and invited me to watch movies with them in the evenings. I remember one house in particular. It was the home of an older woman who lived alone, and she was showing me around, and when we got to the bathroom, she pointed to a bucket in the bathtub, and she said, "Now, you're not to run the shower or to have a bath. You can fill the bucket, and that's the water that you can use to wash with." It sounds totally draconian, but as I spent the week with this woman, I found her more and more inspiring. She was a careful steward of the earth. Her motto, to quote Gerard Manley Hopkins, was, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." We ate from her garden. She didn't own a television. In the evenings, she invited me to sit on her porch and to watch the sunset. Her walls were covered in photographs she'd taken on various service trips around the world. There's a story we tell as people of faith. It's a really old story, an ancient story. And it's a story that Jesus knew really well and told himself, and a story that he lived by. In the beginning, the story goes, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. To recount this story as historical fact is to miss the whole point. We don't tell this story because it contains literal truth. We tell it as people of faith because it connects us to that which we hold to be deeply true and absolutely true. The way we tell the story of this world, everything has its genesis in God. The way we tell the story of this world, everything is animated by the breath of God, by God's Spirit. The wind from God that swept over the waters. In the ancient Hebrew and Greek of the Bible, the word for wind and breath is the same as the word for spirit. The story goes on. The Lord fashioned an earth creature out of the clay of the earth and blew into its nostrils the breath of life, and the earth creature became a living being. Will you take a moment to breathe in with me and breathe out? In the story we tell as people of faith, all living creatures are animated by this breath, the very spirit of God. Now, in the story we tell of this world, God says, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them, male and female. God created them. Every time I sweep my front walk, I'm aware that I could live my life according to very strict boundaries of concern. The lines on the sidewalk are all clear. All the leaves, for example, on the other side of the line don't need to be my concern. I needn't concern myself with my neighbor. But then I catch myself. What are we expected to give as people of faith? What statement are we expected to make with our lives? "Show me the coin used for the tax," Jesus says in our story from this morning, and they bring him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." But now he holds up to us a mirror and invites us to look into it. "And whose image is this?" he asks us. "And whose inscription?" Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's, he says. What are we expected to give in this life to God and to each other as people of faith? As creatures created in the image of God, in God's very likeness, we are expected to give all of ourselves with no boundaries. It's that simple, that straightforward, that clear cut. Our most recent statement of faith says it this way: to embody God's love in the world, the work of the church requires the ministry and discipleship of all believers. It is our deepest faith and trust that we carry within us God's Spirit, that God's Spirit inspires us, and that in our whole person, in our distinctiveness, in our gifts, in our passions, in our longings, each of us carries the image and likeness of God. Give to God the things that are God's, Jesus says. So may our lives, in their simplest parts, in all in our lives that is ordinary and everyday, may all the simple and the small and the ordinary details of our lives share with the world this likeness that we embody and witness to God's hope and God's peace and God's joy and God's love. May we give to God the things that are God's. Amen. We stand and sing together. Today we are all called to be disciples, and we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Go forth remembering who you are and to whom you belong. We sing together our blessing.